Hi, this is Roger Green, executive producer and host of the Surfing the Mesh Tsunami podcast. This weekend, we are bringing you six conversations from episode six, our Friday conversation with global KOLs about the impact of the Rezdiffra approval on Thursday. I start this conversation by noting that much of our audience works in pharma or biotech and asking what message our panelists have for them. Zobair Yonassi responds first, commending Madrigal for, and I quote, doing the right thing, end of quote, and being persistent for years, even when it appeared that Rezdiffra would come to market years after what people believed would be the first drug. This diligence and persistence includes studying large sample sizes, introducing NITs as parallel endpoints of clinical trials, and running multiple trials at different disease targets and resolutions. Jeff McIntyre also feels that the parallel NIT markers for biopsy studies has created a major bridge to an all-NIT post-biopsy initial diagnosis world and commends Madrigal for driving this way. Louise Campbell follows up by asking what impact the two-day NIT workshop that FDA conducted last autumn might have had on any of this, and Zobair, who works closely with FDA and has many friends there, suggests it's a process and they're moving in the right direction, if more slowly than we would like. The approval of a first drug indicated for MASH may be the most significant achievement in fatty liver disease in longer than anyone can remember, certainly since some of the major diagnostic decisions and assessments were made. The conversation is interesting and our global leaders have a variety of perspectives, so sit back, listen, enjoy, learn, and when you're done, join the conversation in our LinkedIn discussion group. About 40 to 50% of our audience are people who work in drug companies or biotechs, either in drug development or early commercialization. If you had that role, what would you take out of the process of getting here and what that label says and the things we've been talking about today? How would that affect your work?
Zobair Yonassi.
This company did the right thing and was persistent and doing the right thing for years, even when they were not at the forefront of the field. There were others, as you remember. But by that, I mean, you're doing the right studies with the right design and not relying on small sample size, you know, sample size driven phase two clinical trial and just bidding big in that. I think you just have to do your due diligence. The second thing that I think they did was to introduce non-invasive tests as endpoint of the studies. You know, mastery or NAFLD was a major effort. And even at the time that a lot of people didn't really agree with that, they were realistic. They had good foresight to see that when you have a drug, you're not going to be able to use liver biopsy at the end of 1 year treatment. So they introduced this idea that NITs could be used for potential treatment and monitoring. And that, I think that separated them very well from others, that they thought outside the box and they had good foresight to do this. And I think those things will set them apart.
Other messages for corporate folks. And Zobair, that's an excellent one. Thank you.
Ian Rowe.
So I think that's very interesting. And it's something that I think I mentioned to Roger after we recorded the last round of the podcast that I was on about, you know, how important the parallel Maestro-NAFLD was in the approval and the lack of liver biopsy on the label. Because if lots of supportive information has come for that, is that saying to companies, yeah, you know, you've got to do your licensing endpoint studies with liver biopsy, but actually you've got to do a parallel non-invasive test study in a more real-world population as well? Or is this precedent set that biopsy-proven patients will give you a label where liver biopsy is no longer required?
Well, I think they set the stage, and whether everyone has to do the same thing is probably not going to be required to do a Maestro NAFLD type of study. I'm hoping that in the near future that the agencies will accept some at least NITs as real endpoints and not rely on liver biopsy. That's not the case right now, and I don't see that happening immediately. But at least it gives us some evidence that when you do NIT trial and then you actually do a real trial that the agency is going to require and you do it right, you see the efficacy happening on both type of endpoints. And then you can, you know, at least I'm convinced, you know, forget about how the approval process goes. As a clinician, I'm convinced that the NIT data will support me to use it for treatment and monitoring of patients. That evidence may not have been a part of the package for submission, or it may have been. I'm not privy to that information. But it is really important for clinicians to know that happened. And we saw that at efficacy, you know, part of the NIT data that was shown with Maestro-NAFLD. And also, the other thing, of course, was that Maestro-NAFLD was a larger spectrum of the disease. So you capture all kinds of other things that you may not be able to capture in much more restricted sort of population. So these are all positives for a company that put a lot of effort into doing the right thing.
Okay, go ahead, Louise.
Louise Campbell.
I just wonder, looking back 12 months, how pivotal that day or 2-day session with the FDA was. There were excellent sessions presented about non-invasive data and the role of non-invasive data. And that was a 2-day meeting run by the FDA. So they had lots of evidence to be able to consider and take into account before they made this ruling. And I wonder, looking back, how actually pivotal that was in yesterday's eventual ruling.
It's a great question. Anybody have an answer? And then we're well past an hour, so I kind of do want to go to close in a moment.
I think FDA has been, and I'm right outside Washington, D.C., so I've been watching and I do have interaction with my friends there. It's been a process for FDA to understand the importance of NITs. It's a journey, and I think they're getting there. It's slow, painful for some of us. You know, remember, hepatology was based on liver biopsies. That's how hepatologists were. You could never actually imagine a time where you do hepatology sort of trials without liver biopsy, because most of the great name hepatologists, Heiss Zimmermann or others, they knew more about the pathology than anybody else. So I think we have come to this over time, and a lot of people in the FDA are from these institutions, but they're getting there. I give them a lot of credit. This is not easy, and they're making the change, but they're making it very carefully, and they're making it, but they're going in the right direction, and I applaud them for that.
And now, back to Roger.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. If you have any questions or comments about the content of this conversation or the entire episode, please put them in the review section of the page on which you downloaded this conversation, or send an email to questions@surfingmash.com. We'll be back Wednesday night with a group of patient advocates discussing their excitement, reaction, and next steps after the approval of Rezdiffra. Until then, stay safe, surf on. We'll see you on the podcast. Bye-bye now.